Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Joining me today is former BYU defensive back and current BYU TV analyst Brian Logan, a.k.a. B-Lo. Good to have you back on the show.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that you know, we could finally put all this basketball craze behind us. I've been waiting. I'm like, man, people don't ask me to come on no more. Like, golly, I've been bored. So happy that football is finally back in the mix.
When BYU football loses their first game, I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to be asking you to come on anymore either. No, I'm just kidding. I hope that doesn't happen. But last year, the media picked BYU to finish 11th, and the Cougars finished tied for 11th with Baylor. This year, media picked BYU to finish 13th in the Big 12. So we'll get into whether we agree with those rankings or not a little bit later. But in all honesty, B-Lo, where would you say your excitement level is for BYU football heading into year two of the Big 12?
I think I'm excited just period for football.
Yeah.
You know, if BYU football, for whatever reason, was suspended and not play, I would still be happy, right? I'd be a little bit sad. But I think just football in general, especially because there's four new teams that's coming in. I grew up watching Deion Sanders. I'm a Deion fan, even though they're not on the schedule for BYU. But just the sense of it being new, right? Like the newness of it. A little bit of unknowns with the quarterback situation. I think that's always intriguing. But yeah, it's just exciting to be in a power four conference. I guess that's the thing now.
Isn't that weird? Power four.
It's weird. It's pretty soon it's going to go to a power two. So we have to get used to that as well. But yeah, just the newness of it. I think the unknown is what I'm most excited for sure.
Well, you mentioned the quarterback. There's a lot of questions around the BYU football program right now. Yeah. One of the big ones is the quarterback situation. BYU football, they have seven players listed as quarterback. Here are the six we're keeping an eye on because Cade Finnegan is taking more of a grad assistant role this season, so that frees up a scholarship. So he's kind of not in the mix anymore. Jake Retzlaff, second year with the Cougars, will he be the starter? I think that's what everyone's presuming as of now. Gary Bohannon, transfer from South Florida. Treyson Borgay, transfer from Western Michigan. McKay Hillstead, transfer from Utah State. Noah Lugo, freshman out of Texas. And Cole Hagan, he's a return missionary freshman out of Corner Canyon High School, which I've heard really good things about. So traditionally, the players who represent BYU at Big 12 Media Days are the best players on the team, but none of the five BYU players who represent the Cougars are quarterbacks. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of that's up in the air, and so that's hard to say, okay, we'll bring you. But that, I mean, is that a good sign? Is that a bad sign? Doesn't matter.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's usually the best player is going to be your quarterback on a successful team, usually, right?
Right.
Well, you know, you have a running back, but usually, I mean, you have your offensive lineman and defensive lineman that are strong in you know, both of what they're trying to accomplish in the run game and stopping the run. And then you have a stud, you know, running back, but you don't need, like, an All-American running back. You just have somebody that can get the job done. You could, same thing with the receivers. You don't need to have an All-American receiver. You just have guys to get the job done. But you gotta have a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to have a quarterback to make it all run. And so the fact that, like you said, hey, we want to choose the best players because nobody wants to talk to the third string guy on the bench that plays the left bench. Nobody wants to do that. That's not intriguing for us as media and even us as fans, right? So it is a little bit concerning that they wanted to choose the best players and our quarterback, you know, wasn't a part of that selection.
And obviously a big part of that is they have not yet named a starter.
Yeah.
How concerned should BYU fans be about the quarterback situation right now from your perspective?
I think as a fan, they should be extremely concerned, right? For me, in my experience and, you know, I think the faith that I have in Jake, I don't think that it's an issue. A lot of times coaches play games with their players to try to bring the most out of them. Mm-hmm. And the coach, like A-Rod can go into the locker room and practice every day and go, Jake's the guy. He could be talking behind closed doors with Kalani, like, oh yeah, Jake's the guy. But they're going to, you know, portray to the entire team and the program and media out there that, hey, it's a quarterback battle. Every day you got to fight for your reps. And in the back of his mind, he's like, no, Jake's really the quarterback.
But what is the benefit of that? Like, why do that? Because, like, last year they had Keaton Slovis come in, and they're like, Keaton's the guy from day one. Probably paying him some money, right? And so that was one of the reasons he came, is like, I'm going to be the starter. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm assuming so. This situation's a little bit different. But what is the benefit of kind of playing that game as a coach?
I think two things. One is you have to, as a coach, you have to know how to coach your players, right? That's the most important thing with the coaches. Prepare them to play at the high level, but then also pull out that motivation from them as well. And there's some players that I played with that if a coach, you know, kind of played those mind games, they would kind of sink and get depressed and be like, oh my gosh, I suck. And I'm like, dude, you got a scholarship. You know, you're a D1 athlete.
Yeah.
And then there's other guys like me where if a coach would play a mind game to me, it would almost raise my level of competition, my sense of urgency. And so that could be, you know, one benefit there. I think the other benefit too is showing guys that you haven't arrived yet, right? You have to prove yourself. And we saw with Jake, I mean,
he went 0-4 as a starter.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I give him a lot of grace, but also I think why I'm so optimistic and believe he'll be the starter is because BYU, I think except for one game, was pretty close, right? Like almost beat Oklahoma State. Yeah, he did have a lot of turnovers, and I would say probably single-handedly lost a game, a couple of those games.
Absolutely.
But you look at when BYU was struggling prior to him coming on, the offense wasn't moving at all, right? Three and outs, lots of third and longs. And you actually saw BYU actually in games and competing. And that's where I'm the most optimistic with Jake specifically and the offense, is that they went from stagnant, struggling, to, hey, now we're actually competing. So I see that light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and he's not a guy you look at and you have no hope whatsoever in his abilities. He had some incredible plays and then some really boneheaded plays, right? It was like you had one side and the other. So there's moments you're like, oh, this guy could be the guy.
Yep.
And from what I've heard, he has made big strides during spring. I know he's working a ton on his accuracy, which is something he really needs.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure Gary Bohannon is pushing him. They're both healthy. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Both those quarterbacks are really healthy right now, so there will be a good competition come fall camp.
Yeah.
Assuming if there is a competition.
I'm telling you right now, there's no competition.
So are you saying, do you think day one of fall camp, they're going to say, this guy's our starter?
No, I don't think
so. You think they'll let it stretch out?
They'll let it stretch out for sure. But I believe that Jake's the starter. And, I mean, I might be a little biased because I went to a junior college and he went to junior college. And you don't hear too much about junior college players anymore just because the transfer portal and guys, you know, out of high school now, they're going to like an FCS school. And then knowing, okay, let me go this route instead of junior college because with the transfer portal, I can always, you know, transfer to a D1 school or a higher level school. And so a lot of the plays that he made that were bad, the interceptions, those were JC type plays.
Yeah.
Those were, I call them like Madden plays. Like, dude, throw the ball away, right? Or take the sack and live to fight another down. And
but
don't,
he's like, no!
Right? He's like going all the way. Look, you know, when I played Madden, I don't really play video games, but when I played Madden, I played with Michael Vick, somebody who's super fast, running 4-3. I would do all stupid type of things where I'm dropping back and I'm going 30 yards this way, 30 yards that way, and then just chucking it up. You know what I'm saying? And that's the JC mindset that you have because you can get away with it. And I think those lessons, what he learned was, especially in game, okay, everybody's actually good here.
Yeah.
Everybody's fast. Yeah. Everybody's big. Everybody's strong. And so now, how can I get that competitive edge? I got to use technique. I got to use my mindset. I have to have more mental strength and football IQ to not make those mistakes, but still keep my team and put them in a position to win the games.
And he was a world class junior, a JC
player. Right. Yeah.
Like very, very good.
Yeah. And it's the thing, too, about JC guys is, they're like, when you go out of high school and you see all your friends have scholarships and you watching D1 games every day, and you still are looking at the rivalries and you're like, oh, I'm right there. But you also have in the back of your mind, this is my last chance. So a lot of times they call it last chance you. And so every day you're going out, you're fighting literally for that last chance. Whereas a kid coming out of high school, they're like, I got 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or sometimes too, they get there and they're like, oh yeah, I arrived. Yeah. Like, I'm good. And so something that I've learned was to keep that mentality even to this day, right? And so I always say, don't count a JC kid out. It's crazy things that you got to go through. And so to get here, you're grateful, but you know where you came from.
Right.
And that type of mentality, I feel like you can't count out. And that's what Jake has.
All right. A question I have for you, because we've heard very little about running backs coming out of spring ball.
Yeah.
Kind of scary, right? Seeing what BYU did in the run game last year. Does BYU have enough talent at running back and receiver to make up for maybe some of the weaknesses of Jake Retzlaff or whoever is named starting quarterback?
Yeah, I think they do. Like I said earlier, I don't think a team needs to have that all-American type of guy. It obviously helps out. But with me, I think the focal point has to be the running game. And we saw the running game pick up when Jake got in the game, right, when he started playing. And I think that's just A-Rod's style of what he wants to do. You look at, you know, previous successful offenses he's always had a dual threat quarterback. And so if the running game is on point, which I think it will be now with some of the changes, you know, with the staff and you know, players really gelling and meshing more together, because we heard there was some little bit of cancer, you know, on the line, and nobody wants to play with somebody that's a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, I have to. Like, I don't have to like you. You know what I mean? I'll be content with you. But, you know, think about that mentality playing, going on the field. I can't trust you. If I don't like you, I don't trust you. How do I know if you're going to be in the right spot? I mean, so much chemistry off the field carries on the field. You know what I mean? And especially with a unit like the offensive line, you got to be – you know,
of one mind.
It's literally one heart, one sound, one mind, you know, one moving at the same drum beat. And so I think a lot of those issues are cleared up. And so if you have a good running game and you have those guys that, you know, offensively up front that can take care of their business, execute, you probably pretty much can put anybody back. You could probably go back there. You know what I mean?
We've already discussed this, right? Of course I could.
No, yeah, I forgot. You are an athlete. You are that's a bad example. Dave McCann could go back there. Shout out to Dave. No offense. No offense to you,
Clip
Dave.
That off, send it to Dave. No, when all the pieces around the quarterback are functioning as they should, a quarterback can look a lot better. I'm not saying better than he is, but they make him look good, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they weren't functioning last year. If they can function this year, I think we will see a different type of quarterback play, whoever it is back there.
Yeah. Also, too, you think about the majority of the struggles when it comes to moving the ball and just being efficient was third down conversions, right? I think one last in the nation.
Yeah.
And what causes that is being in third and 10, third and long situations. There's just really not a lot of plays for that, right? So getting the offense to third and three, third and short, you know, down situations, now you can dictate to the defense, am I running the ball? Am I throwing the ball? Now the defense doesn't know they're on their heels. So from a strategy and scheme perspective, it takes a lot of that load off of the quarterback. Otherwise, you'll see potentially like these third and sevens, third and eights, where you have a, you know, JC quarterback that for the first time he's thrown into the fire, and he's like, oh, I'm trying to make this play on third and seven, and is doing, you know, extra scrambling and fumbles the ball, where I'm like, dude, it's the second quarter, what are you doing? just take a knee, punt the ball, and you know, live to fight another down. So I don't think that you'll see those mistakes. But again, like I said, being a lot more manageable, I think you take those type of situations you take those situations away from, you know, a young quarterback that doesn't have that experience that's trying to, you know, win it all on every single play.
Right. The Salt Lake Tribune wrote that Coach Satake didn't like having to bring in graduate transfer quarterbacks like last season, wanted to avoid the situation going forward. He wants to start players who know the system and have been in the offense for several years. Theoretically, if everyone stays, BYU has options for the next few years. Do you think that's a realistic goal that Kalani has?
I think so.
I mean, do you agree with that?
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
I like the idea of having someone that's been in the system that knows BYU and their schemes and everything instead of bringing in a one and done.
Yeah. The first problem issue, I mean, I love Keaton and all that. The issue just in general is if you're the starting quarterback on any team, Pee Wee, college, high school, JC, I don't care, whatever, flag football, like you're the leader, right? You are the leader. And it's hard to lead a program because a program is just that. It's an actual program, right? It's a well-oiled machine. There's so many different moving parts and pieces. And if you are bringing in a new leader every year, that's – I mean, how could I get behind that, right? As a player, we're all looking up to you by default. You decided to play quarterback at Pee Wee's. Like, you got to take this burden. You know what I mean? You got to take this burden. And so how can – a program be led by somebody that is constantly in and out? I think that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, talking to Uncle B about this a while ago, and I said, why are you, like, the quarterbacks, why did so many good quarterbacks come here, great over the years? And he said, and knowing that you guys weren't going to start, and he said, well, we knew that all we had to do was play 2 years. So we were okay with going to BYU knowing that, okay, Steve Young is, you know, All-American junior, going to be All-American senior, and I'm going to come in as a freshman, maybe redshirt, learn from him, learn the system, and then compete, and then boom, it's going to be my turn. So everybody didn't think like a lot of these guys nowadays in college where I'm going to come in as a true freshman and I'm going to start right away. You know what I mean? And so I love that idea of get these guys into this system and just let them wait their turn. Let them be more mature. We see where BYU's had the most success is when, you know, there's been a senior quarterback or a junior quarterback, more so a senior that had, you know, multiple starts, you know, because of that experience. And the biggest thing is you become a coach on the field. It's hard to learn a system if you're one and done.
Right.
You don't have time to really fully get the grasp of what, you know, your offensive coordinator is trying to accomplish.
And it's hard to teach the other guys, like, this is where you need to be and you need to be when you're still trying to grasp it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, absolutely. Coming up, we'll discuss what the rivals in Salt Lake said about playing BYU in November and how we feel about it. Plus, if we think we'll see offensive improvements in the Cougars' second season in the Big 12. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Brian Logan. BYU football really struggled last season. Where? Everywhere. In the most facets of the game. So let's start offensively. The Cougars were 118th nationally in total offense, 90th in passing offense, 118th in rushing offense. They finished slightly better in total defense at 106th, 109th nationally in run defense, 91st nationally passing yards allowed. BYU finished last in team sacks a season ago with 11. During spring, the offense emphasized establishing the ground attack as its number one priority. Last year, that phase of the game was abysmal as the team ran for only 104.3 yards per game. A lot of those coming at the end of the season as well. BYU teams of the past have always thrived in a 60-40 pass-run ratio. What will be the style of play of offense this season, do you think, with the returning characters BYU has?
I think it'll be similar to the last three games that you saw. Again, that you saw the playbook open up a lot once Jake, you know, became the starter, and it was a lot more smoother, right? Like I said earlier, you started to see the offense, you know, actually sustain drives, and that was the biggest issue and why BYU ended up, you know, finishes the season with a lot of those stats right there is three and outs. You're not gaining any yards at all. like literally not gaining yards. I think you'll see the same. I think in my opinion, A-Rod is, I think he is, I don't want to say genius, but he's very strategic in how he moves and operates. Usually you want to run the ball. You set up the pass. I like how the last couple years, he's tried to set up the run by establishing the pass first. And, you know, so quick screens, a lot of short game slants, you know, quick outs to get more in the manageable first downs or third downs, third and threes, and then you can go ahead and run the ball, right? So if I spread you out offensively because, you know, I'm throwing the ball over the field short game, now that box opens up for the running game. So I think that's why you see that ratio.
Then on the defensive side, Jay Hill said recently, "I know the scheme works." He told that to the Deseret News. "As more guys become familiar with the scheme and believe in it, our defense will be better. We'll create more havoc, and we will get the ball back to our offense." What do you want to see from the defense below after seeing what you did last season? What do you think they can accomplish this season?
I blame a lot of the defensive issues and struggles on the offense.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I'm just going to be real with you and say that. Well, there is a lot of times, like I always go back to the Texas game, right? Three turnovers, or maybe four or five turnovers. I think three of those were Texas scored on, right? And so you're putting the defense in horrible situations, mm-hmm. especially like towards the end of the season where Jake was throwing a lot of the turnovers, right? I mean, that pick six, the BYU defense didn't give up. You know, what was it, that 35 points against Oklahoma? It was just 28. So there was a lot of, you know, situations like that. So I think the offense, having the mindset of taking care of the ball, is going to help the defense out a lot. But more importantly, something that they can control is havoc, right? I mean, that's like an actual metric now, which I didn't even know that was the case. But when you can be disruptive, and offense is all about timing, right? From blocking to especially running routes and passing. If you can be disruptive and maybe just have a small, simple delay in whatever area is going to be, it's going to put the defense in a position to make better plays. And that was the thing. Like, you saw more blitzes and you saw pressures, more than we've ever seen in the last couple of years, right? But guys weren't getting home and finishing the actual play, which is, mm-hmm. you know, getting those sacks. That's the most important thing. So, like, for a DB, it's cool that we get a pass breakup. You just did your job. That's fine. Like, you're literally supposed to not let the receiver catch the ball, but take it to the next level and get an interception. You know what I mean? And start putting your offense that potentially could be struggling in situations that, you know, they're going to have shorter fields or have more success, you know, because of that.
I think one of the big keys is getting Ben Bywater back and healthy. I mean, that was a big gut punch for the defense. Yeah. I think he's the leader and the captain, at least in those front seven. And then you get Micah Harper back, who is healthy.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a big difference, right?
Yeah, that'll be huge. And see, a lot of the guys that stepped up and played, because there's, you know, kind of a lot of a rotation, you know, through injury, but because of injuries on the secondary. And those guys, they did their job, right? There was times where, like, I was like, oh, okay, this dude's balling. But now that, like, something that Micah can give you is what I said earlier, is taking it to the next level, getting those interceptions, you know, forcing fumbles. Most importantly, being the leader, right? There was a lot of times where the defense looked down and sad or kind of moping. And Micah is somebody that's a high-energy dude, loves to hit, loves to be physical. And all you need is for a guy like that to come and make a play and smack somebody, and then it energizes everybody. Now everybody's like, okay, let's go. So bringing that physicality, you know, through Micah Harper is going to be absolutely huge, especially, you know, Big 12 plays. We saw how physical and how big these guys are, so he'll be a huge asset.
Yeah, and I'm sure having that game in and game out also wore on them a little bit, something they weren't super used to. Hopefully they'll be more used to it come this season. Big 12 Media Day is happening this week. Utah is ranked first in the conference, according to the Big 12 polls. Utah's seventh-year quarterback Cam Rising was asked about his thoughts about playing BYU this season, and he said, "I want to go down there and whoop their bums." That's not what he said, but that's what we're going to say he said.
That's the PG version.
I thought it was really funny. How do you feel about that kind of fodder between the rivals? Because some BYU fans, I'm going to be honest, they went crazy, all offended by it. I'm like, I think it's great. I think that's what the rivalry is about, right?
Yeah.
Let the players maybe take that to heart and use it in November. First of all, we're like months away from that. But I'm like, come on. What do you want him to say? Of course he's going to say something like that.
I think it'd be weird if he didn't say it.
Right?
Like
that's
that.
What I was thinking.
It would... As a competitor at this high level, you want to win. You want to win, you know, convincingly, and especially in a rivalry game. So, you know, something I didn't like that Bronco. This is probably the only thing. Maybe two things, but one of the things I didn't like about Bronco was how he treated the Utah game like it was just another game,
mm-hmm.
and I saw the difference in the mindset and the mentality, because I played 2009, 2010. So 2009, we won in overtime. Andrew George, you know, the catch,
yeah.
I guess. And then 2010, in 2010, we lost, I think, 3 seconds left with a blocked field goal, yeah. Right? So still a close game.
Was that when the fans rushed the field?
Wasn't that one. Yeah, no. But you know, and on that team, the difference with those two teams, in my opinion, was you had 2010, a lot of freshmen, right? True freshmen. You know, Jake Heath was a true freshman starter. My junior year, you had Max Hall, you had Dennis Pitta, Harvey, right, at running back. So you had a lot of guys that have played through that rivalry. So they didn't really need that pick-me-up from the coach, that motivation. So we went into it like, yeah, this is better. I don't care what coach says, or I don't care. We may say this to the media, but we know we're in the locker room talking smack, and we're prepared mentally. You know, mentally, I don't think that that team in 2010 was as prepared because we didn't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I love this already, because I want these guys to go in. Yeah, I'm thinking week in, week out of my opponent, and I'm going through my game, studying my film for that week. But I'm still in the back of my mind counting off the calendar.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I'm crossing off the days until I can play, you know, this rivalry, especially now in conference, because it means a lot more.
And especially because BYU's almost at the bottom, where Utah's at the tippy top.
Yep.
So that's going to be an interesting dynamic there. As the season progresses, it's far enough along that things could possibly, right, hopefully for BYU fans, changes a little bit, but we'll see what happens. All right, defensive tackle for the Utes, Junior Tafuna, was a little less intense with his comments, but this is what he said.
Yeah, man, I'm still sore about that loss from 21. So, you know, rekindling this rivalry, man, is a great start in this conference. And I'm glad that it's going to be happening. So, pretty sure every year, right? Pretty sure for the next couple of years.
That's what it seems like,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great, man. And man, wish them luck and wish the best in the rivalry, but I know who I'm rooting for.
If you get an extra week, all teams get a bye week before that game, so we'll get a little bit more touchdown.
Man, that's good, man. We'll go to church and then we'll battle out the next week.
He was nice, right? I mean, that was a lot more tamed approach. You can tell that guy's from Utah versus Cam Rice. No, I love it. I love the rivalry fodder.
That's funny. I'd be more like, you know, like Cam, you know, like, Every time I step on the field, I'm trying to send my opponent to meet Jesus. You know what I mean? Like that's my mindset, especially being a defensive player. You know, and then I feel like afterwards, like we can talk about Jesus afterwards, but if I don't send him to you before that,
if you're still here, if
you're still here. But that's just I don't know. I think you have to have that mentality. Like we always been saying these last couple of years, like we want that dog in you, right? So you know, let's mark this and remember this interview, and let's see how both of those players you know, perform on the field. And I'm not saying, and sometimes look, you may need to have a guy that or a player may need to be like low key, like mellow, in order for him to be productive and execute at a high level. Most guys, I'm saying that's not most guys. Most guys, I'm listening to, you know, Lil Wayne, you know, before the music. I'm listening to gangster music. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get into the character of sending you to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And so, but there's other guys I know that are really rare that listen to like classical music because they're just so, their brain is just all over the place. So they try to, you know, calm down. It sounds like that's the case with him. But, you know, we'll see. I think at the end of the day, both guys are competitors and just happy to get back at it, and especially, you know, the rivalry, and like he said too, like in conference.
And they're just having fun with it. And so I want to know from a defensive player's perspective, is that something come game time in November that they remember and take to heart, and then we're like, oh, this guy said this, we're going to take him down?
Oh,
or do you not even remember or care?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's funny too, because we'll even like in game – we will, if somebody is talking smack to us, like pregame, right, when we're warming up and whatnot, and when we get into the game, I remember like Andrew Rich would come to me and he'd huddle up the secondary. He'd be like, okay, guys, 15, number 15. And what that meant to us was that's the target on his back, right? Not literally, like within the game.
Yeah.
But like if I am making a tackle, if I see somebody making a tackle on number 15, I'm going to come and boom, give him a little bit of extra hit, where if it was a different number, if Andrew didn't call him out, I'm probably not going to go and, you know, get that extra little oomph. Or if I make the tackle on him myself and it's a pile, I may try to pinch him or something. I don't know. I might do something weird like that. but they, like players, we definitely remember that for sure.
Try and pinch him?
I may try to.
Preschool?
Well, you know, like, I'm not going to try to break his ankle. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, within the game, I may do. You know what? Also, which is funny too, like, and guys will do just like stupid stuff like that. I think when BYU played against Tennessee a couple years ago, like a D lineman took somebody's cleat and threw. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I might.
So funny.
So, it's like stuff like that. So like funny. You would like in the pile. It's crazy stuff that go in the pile. Like try. I take somebody's towel. You know what I'm saying? I may, some people like unstrap people's chin straps just to be goofy and annoying.
that shoe toss was one of the greatest moments in BYU football history.
For sure.
All right, we're going to end with this. We mentioned this at the top of the show, but let's dig into it. BYU was picked to finish 13th in the Big 12. Will BYU finish better than 13th in the Big 12, or does that spot seem just right to you?
I think they'll finish better. I think BYU will win the games that they're supposed to win. But I also think that there'll be at least two games that they'll pull out that they weren't supposed to win.
Mm. So you think they'll be bowl eligible?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they will. You look at Oklahoma, you look at just the last three games, and I just expect that momentum to carry over offensively. Defensively, it's always – like I'm just not worried about the defense at all. We saw what they were doing. You know, I think those first five wins were because of the defense. Mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And like I said, offense put them in situations that I don't think will happen this year. And we know how hard it is when you come to play in Provo. You know what I mean? And some of these teams are going to be their first time playing and them not knowing what to expect. And you have the elevation. And it's a different world, literally, in all aspects, specifically football-wise. Yeah. It's a different world, you know, when you come to Provo. So I think – those are the type of games where BYU will be able to steal one.
BYU's conference home opener, Kansas State, who is arguably better than the Utes, in my opinion. That is going to be tough. I think they are right where they need to be. I think, of course, they can't pick them any higher than that based on what they did last year.
Yeah.
Like, they can't say, oh, maybe, you know, that they're not hoping, they're not even guessing. They're basing it off of the terrible statistics that BYU put out last year. So I think 13th. I'm surprised it's not slightly lower, honestly. But here's what I think.
Lower like 18th?
Yeah. So, yeah. How many teams are in the Big 12 now?
16.
Yeah, 16. I think Kalani's going to throw everything at this season. He does not want to have another losing season. He knows the tradition here. He knows it better than anybody else. He knows he can't afford to have another losing season for his job and, you know.
Recruits, yeah.
Just recruits and everything. Portal. He brought in Gary Anderson, former Utah State, Wisconsin, and Oregon State head coach to be his eyes and to be an analyst for this season.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pulling out all the stops. Yeah. He's like, okay, we can't do this again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be huge, having him on the staff to help out. I think he's going to pull out all the stops. I think he's going to prove – at least a few more games than what I think he's going to have a winning season. I think he needs to, and I want him to. Love
well,
the guy.
I like what you said there, because remember against Oklahoma State how he did that fake punt, right?
Yeah.
But what do we see in Independence? He always did stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They always did like you saw trick plays, like gadget plays, so many times when A-Rod took over. You saw it just reminded me of the Boise State offense back in the day,
totally.
Right? Where you
totally.
Saw all these trick plays, and Kalani was like, "Man, I just realized I got to get back to it." Even though we're fighting for a bowl game, but I just can't be so uptight and got to be loose. And remember, he was going for onside kicks, like I think those,
and everyone's like, "What are you doing?"
Right? And so I just think that he you know was kind of. Going into this new year, like with the unknowns, I think started to find himself and say, you know what, this is who I've been. Who cares that I'm in a Power 5 conference? Like, let me just go back to knowing how I coach. So I think we'll see a lot of that too.
And that does it for us today. Thanks again to Brian Logan. Carter Vaughn and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.